You might remember what the weather was like on Sunday night, about 6 o'clock. Pretty ordinary, very wet. And I went to a barbecue. And the barbecue was transformed from outside to inside. I went to a neighbour's home, and as I wiped my feet on the doormat, I looked down and saw a greeting on the doormat. And it said, "Welcome, Merry Christmas." I sort of felt weird, you know, wiping your feet on the sign that said, "Welcome, Merry Christmas." And it got me wondering, well, those so very familiar words, "Merry Christmas," what do they really mean? Well, we use the word merry today in a variety of ways. If at this time of the year we would describe someone as merry, we might be meaning they were mildly intoxicated. And sadly, that's what Christmas is for many people, a time of excessive drinking. I did a little bit of digging to find out what the origin of the saying Merry Christmas was, and I discovered that it was popularised by Charles Dickens in his 1843 novel, The Christmas Carol. And at one point in that story, the cold-hearted and miserly Ebenezer Scrooge, who absolutely hates Christmas, is greeted by his nephew. And the nephew's words are, "A Merry Christmas, Uncle. God save you." Well, sometimes we use the word Merry Christmas fairly glibly, don't we? It can have as little meaning as the shop assistant says to you at the end of the transaction, "Have a nice day," and they really don't care what your day is like. But if we understand merry in its true sense, that is of joyous, then it is a greeting that can be really rich in meaning. And for me, some of the joy of Christmas is well summed up in that carol we started our service with today. "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." That's what we're here to celebrate today. The joy that is there for us because Jesus has come. And it's in that good news that we find a truly merry Christmas. So we gather today to celebrate Jesus, who he is and what it is that he has done for us. And as we celebrate Jesus, it is to the scriptures that we need to turn to consider again the significance of Jesus' birth. From a purely human perspective, the birth of Jesus involved a pregnancy that was unplanned, unexpected, and initially unwelcome. Mary, who was pledged to be married to Joseph, was expecting a child. What was Joseph to make of that news? As they had not yet consummated their relationship, the most natural conclusion for him to reach was that Mary had been unfaithful. And in the small village of Nazareth where they grew up, it would have been virtually impossible for that presumed information not to have become known to others. And when it did, it would have made Joseph and Mary an object of great shame and humiliation. So the way that Joseph responds when he learns that Mary is pregnant is nothing short of amazing, and it speaks volumes about his character. While according to Jewish law, under the circumstances, he was entitled to break his commitment to marry Mary, at the same time, he was also concerned for her about how his breaking off the relationship would impact upon her. And what he tries to do initially is to minimise the social and psychological damage to her by ending the relationship as quietly as possible. But then, God powerfully intervenes. An angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream and says to him, "Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now, there are two things that stand out to me in that message of the angel to Joseph. The first is, but this was no ordinary pregnancy. It was a miracle brought about by the power of the Spirit. God was at work in an extraordinary way. Some who would deny the truth of Jesus' virgin birth say that it's simply a legend that the early Christians created to give special honour to Jesus. But in fact, it does quite the opposite. In first century Palestine, it would have made Jesus the illegitimate child of a morally loose woman. And while the virgin birth of Jesus may not sit readily with us, we should be at least open to the possibility that God, who is almighty, can and does at times powerfully intervene to change the way that things normally happen. God, who brought creation into being out of nothing, can certainly bring Jesus into the world by means of a virgin birth, even if it does not fit into our normal mindset. So there's something special about this child, is to be born of the Virgin Mary. And there's something special in the name that he's been given, the name Jesus. It's not just some arbitrary label that attached to him to distinguish him from other people, but it indicates the very reason why it is that God would send him into the world, to save people from their sins. And so the angel's words point forward. They point forward to what Jesus would do in the closing hours of his earthly life. Give his life for our sins, to bring us back into right relationship with the one who created us. We think forward in time from to the end of Jesus' earthly life, as he hung on the cross. One of the thieves who was being crucified beside him said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied to that request saying, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." And that same promise of welcome into the Father's presence, is open to us today, to all who will turn to him in repentance and faith. Matthew continues his account of Jesus' birth by reflecting on the significance of it. He writes, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. You got that one right. So the words that Matthew was citing were those of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. He'd lived some 700 years earlier. Inspired by the Spirit, he had foreseen the manner in which God himself would come to his people. And in fulfillment of that promise, in the fullness of time, Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary to be Emmanuel, no one less than God himself with us as one of us. In the second reading today, we heard not so much the story of Jesus' birth, but a reflection on the significance of his birth, indeed the significance of his whole life. Jesus didn't suddenly come into existence when he was born in Bethlehem. John tells us he had existed from the Father from all eternity. And he describes Jesus as the eternal Word of God, through whom all of creation came into being. He writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." And then he goes on, the key verse that reflects on Jesus' earthly life, and he says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." In the person of Jesus, for a season, God enfleshed himself in our humanity. John's writing as an eyewitness to the earthly life of Jesus, and as someone who had met the risen Jesus. And he could therefore say of Jesus, in first-hand experience, "We have seen his glory, the glory as of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." And in that one sentence, we have three words that are incredibly rich in meaning. Glory, grace, and truth. Glory is associated with the presence of God himself. Grace speaks to us of God's unmerited favour towards us. Truth, we see perfectly embodied in the person of Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life by whom we come to the Father. Glory, grace, and truth are to be found in Jesus. The presence of God is our merited favour and the ultimate truth of the universe. The closing words of John's reflection on the significance of Jesus are these: no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, he has made him known. So fully did Jesus do that, that when the disciple Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father," Jesus could reply, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." I think Philip's request, "Show us the Father," is not unlike the longings of many people today, people who long to know the reality of God. People who ask questions like, "Is there a God? If he exists, what's he really like?" And the answer to those sorts of questions is to be found in the person of Jesus, whose birth we celebrate today. In him we can know a joy that extends far beyond this festive season, a joy that is true and deep, and one that will last for eternity. And that's why that hymn, "Joy to the World," is such a great Christmas carol. And it goes on from that statement of the Lord's coming to say, "Let earth receive her King, let every heart prepare him room." That God has come to us in Jesus and revealed himself to us necessarily requires a response of us. And as we read the Gospels, we see in the days of Jesus' earthly life, people responded to him in widely different ways. On one end of the spectrum, there was hostile rejection. At the other end, there was genuine faith. And in between, there are various degrees of apathy. And we still see the same sorts of responses today to Jesus. God in Christ has come to us. And in the coming of Jesus, God was inviting people to welcome him into their lives as their long-awaited King and Saviour. God had come to them and made himself known to them. But in the midst of John's reflection on the coming of Jesus, we find these words, very sobering words. "He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him." Thankfully, that was not the only response. There were also those who accepted Jesus, who he truly was. John goes on, "Those who did receive him, who believed in his name, to them he gave the right to become the children of God." Just as only an orphan child can know the true joy of being welcomed into an adopted family, it's only those who recognise their need for God can know the true joy of being adopted as his children. It's only in Jesus that we can know the true depth of joy that he came to bring. Now, we live more than 2,000 years on from the birth of Jesus, so we're not in the same position as those who experienced his earthly life or were eyewitnesses of the resurrection, but the reality of Jesus can still be known today. We have in the New Testament the apostolic witness to Jesus. And if we come to the scriptures with open hearts and minds, God can powerfully speak to us and Jesus becomes real to us. But it's not just the scriptures. God also comes to us in other ways, by his Spirit, to convict us of the truth of who Jesus is and make him real to us today. Many years ago, I came across a prayer in a book that was written for people who were genuinely seeking to know God. I'd like to share it with you this morning. It goes like this: "God, if you exist, and I don't know if you do, and if you can hear this prayer, and I don't know if you can, I want to tell you that I'm an honest seeker after the truth. Show me if Jesus is your Son and the Saviour of the world. And if you bring conviction to my mind, I will trust him as my Saviour and follow him as my Lord. I would offer you that prayer today as one that you might either pray for yourself or you might share with someone else and encourage them to pray. God rewards those who genuinely seek him. In Jesus, we can find the one who is the fulfillment of God's promises to his people. In Jesus, we find God himself coming to us as one of us. Jesus, our Emmanuel. In Jesus, we find the one who saves us from sin and reconciles us to God. And that is why Christmas is such a joyous occasion. And this Christmas, may we welcome afresh Jesus into our lives and so know the true joy of Christmas. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you love the world so much that you sent your Son to be our Saviour. Father, thank you that he not only saved us, but he shows us what you're like. Lord, we pray that the knowledge of your love for us might be deeply embedded in our hearts, that your love might overflow in the hearts of those who believe in love for others. Lord, in this Christmas season, give us a fresh vision of Jesus, renew us in our knowledge of him, and grow us in relationship with him. We may live to his glory each day. Amen.